Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Sorry about that. My gremlins today. I bumped my thing.
Okay.
That's not a euphemism.
Should really refer to Danny as a thing, but
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Guys, this is my last evening in Adelaide.
Ah, and you're with us. not enjoying it.
That's supposed to be in a bar. Yeah, last day in Adelaide. I've really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, really enjoyed great. It. I'm glad you've had fun. That was literally the only reason to go.
Yeah, I had five gigs last night, and a different promoter wants to bring me back next year.
Do they want to bring you back? Just make sure that they do.
Well,
sometimes they say this thing where they go, "We'd love you to perform at our club." Sure, but I don't know if you're aware of this, but I live in England.
Well, he said he's going to make me an offer, and then I'll see whether I take it or not. But We'll see. But it's always nice to be asked, isn't it?
So, it's lovely to be asked. I think you'd have to do it in conjunction with something else. It'd be a long way to fly to headline a gig, wouldn't it?
I really enjoyed it. And I ended up doing some tourism stuff. I went to the old Adelaide Goal.
Goal? Jail?
Is it Goal? No, they say G-A-O-L.
Jail?
Is it pronounced jail?
G-A-O-L is jail. What did you see when you got there? Did you see a goal or did you see a jail?
No, I saw a jail.
Did you see a jail?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like that's answered your question. Is it called a jail or a goal?
No, but you pronounce it differently. You don't say jail. It's gay.
You don't say jail in Australia. Ah, you say jail.
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 Anyway, I went round that. And then I eventually got to the David Roach Foundation. I turned up in a taxi, spent a taxi, got there just in time for the tour.
They pronounce that taxi.
Taxi? Taxi?
Alison, you and accents are not good. So
I know. So stop now.
I would be quiet. So anyway, got there and the tour was sold out. So I had to go. That's when I went to the jail. And then I'll come back the next day for the tour. But it was really, really good. He was this, David Roach was this gay guy who basically just spent, he inherited lots of money and just spent it buying stuff from the 1700s and the 1800s. And it's a house just packed full of stuff. It was really interesting going around it. So that was my bit of tourism.
A house packed full of stuff. Did you relate? Were you inspired?
I mean, to be fair, that's the stuff he's got there is actually he has got some stuff that looks a bit corny, but he's got some very expensive stuff there from the Hermitage Museum and stuff like that. I don't tend to have that.
That's not true, Maureen. You keep all that stuff you have, one day it'll be worth money. Those plastic bags, they'll be worth something one day.
Worth a fortune.
Yeah. They will be worth about a penny a pound.
And I bought some more jewellery as well.
Maureen!
God, how are
wearing
you going to get
one today?
How are you going to get it nice. All in?
You can't see it, but I'm trying to pack my suitcase now, which is proving interesting.
What's your weight limit? Because it's longer on a... Oh, no, you're short. It's short haul, isn't it? Because you're going to Sydney first.
Yeah, 23 kilos.
Oofed. You're in trouble. How are you going to do it?
I might be wearing a lot of jewellery on the plane.
every piece.
There was a film, what's it called? Hollywood Shuffle, where one of the guys GD'd because he had too much gold on, he fell over.
Yeah, that'll be you, Maureen. They'll just be dragging you onto the aeroplane.
Anyways, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well,
I'll worry about it tomorrow.
Exactly. Worry about it tomorrow. And we'd love to hear all about it next week. I'm not going to worry about it at all. I trust and believe in you, Maureen, that you will manage to get on the plane with every single item of Diamante jewellery that you have purchased in Adelaide. Like the magpie, you really are. So Sydney, that's a great city. You're going to have a lovely time there. You haven't been there for years, have you?
Yeah, and I meet up with hopefully I'm meeting up with him. I'm staying with him, my mate Scott.
Yes, so let's hope you do meet up with him. Otherwise, it's a hostel for you.
I'll be homeless.
No, don't worry. They have hotels in Sydney. You won't be homeless.
Yeah.
You will find somewhere to stay. What you'll have to do is part with money, Maureen. That's all you'll have to do.
That's going to be the hardest also, bit, isn't it?
Or Maureen might easily just sleep on the street. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, we know she can. She literally could sleep anywhere, so...
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Alison, tell me about your week.
Oh, well, my week, I've just been on a puppy ball licking patrol. So
I think you should explain that. You've been licking.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've been.
Well, he got castrated, didn't he?
So he can't lick his neutered. Balls. Yeah.
Oh, but it's not like you were doing it.
What?
No. I've been on puppy ball licking week. Puppy licking. You said.
Puppy licking patrol. Not.
I understand the confusion, though, Maureen, and I'm glad you pointed that out so listeners aren't like, what is she doing with her dog? That is actually very... Thank you, Maureen. Yeah, if I phrased that wrong. My dog got neutered. He can't lick his own balls, so I'm licking them for him. No, I'm kidding. No, so we've just been monitoring him. Poor guy. Poor guy.
Yeah, it's hard because they like to lick them, don't they?
They really do. It's like a man, right? They just want to fiddle with them.
Also, if he's had his knackers taken away, he's going to go, something's strange down there. I better have a snuffle around and check what's wrong.
I feel like I'm missing something. But he has been much more schmoopy, which is kind of nice. I'm not recommending getting and balls taken off, but he's so loving. It's ridiculous. He's like up against me all the time. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah. But yeah, it's a bit can't run upstairs. Right. He's getting used to being pampered, though, because now whenever he wants to go upstairs, he just sits at the bottom and looks at us like, right, I need to be carried up the stairs now. And then he'll stand at the top of the stairs and be like, right, I need to go back downstairs now. So I'm like, oh, I think we've created a monster.
I think you have. Alison, I don't think I know. That
we have
dog
created
is
a monster.
The most pampered animal in the United Kingdom, I suspect. Well, maybe that's a stretch, but he certainly is getting, I mean, what are you going to do when he actually can start walking up and down the stairs? And he's like, I can't, can you?
Yeah, I know. He's just going to look at me like, okay, it's time. I don't know. We'll have to reteach. He'll probably get treats to go up and down the stairs.
That's good.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But it's been lovely. And I also... Yesterday, I did a lovely show. I know I don't always want to talk about comedy, but I opened for Haley Ellis, and I just want to say her name.
Haley.
Because if there's any listeners and you are out and about and you see an advertisement for Haley Ellis, you should go see her show. It's so dynamite, and she's just such a lovely person. And it's fun when you get to work with friends, because that doesn't happen all the time in this industry. So it was
yes,
a real treat.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I love Hayley. She's fantastic, and everyone should go and see her. And the thing is, we always gwang on about this as comedians, but unless you get a lot of telly, it's quite hard to shift a tour. But Hayley has been very successful in her touring because she is good. She regularly supports Sarah Millican on tour. Yeah. And if you get a chance to see her, go, go, go. That's all I wanted to say.
And she's so lovely because, again, we've talked about this. It's not often, you know, we get to open for friends or da-da. But, like, when we got to open for you, Jen, that is what inspired me to do my own tour. And then last night, opening for Haley. And she's so generous. And it's like, please go see her. I literally sold a bunch of tickets last night after just opening for Haley. So if you go see a comedian that you like and they have an opening act that you like and they meant keep supporting the ones because this is how it works. And Especially with us gals. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's exactly what happened to me. I got to support people like Frankie Boyle and Romesh, and they helped me tons. And so you've got to And so it goes and so it goes. Help each other out. That's what it's all about. Chloe's been away. She's been skiing. She's back. She went away for, how many days? I think only five. It wasn't a horrendous amount of time. And that has been my week. There we go. Done.
You've got new glasses.
Yes. So these glasses. Okay. So these glasses, when I tried them on, I was like, love these glasses. A little bit different. Something I wouldn't ordinarily go for. I'm going for them. Here we are with my Marc Jacobs glasses on. Look at that. I've said a name.
Lovely.
I've said a brand. Are we allowed to say that? I'm not sure. We might have to. We're not the BBC. We can do whatever the fuck we like. Anyway, feedback has been serial killer, dinner lady. So that's the Venn diagram that these glasses have conjured.
That's quite a juxtaposition come together, and I like that.
What a Venn diagram that is. The centre of that serial killer dinner lady. I felt really good about myself in these glasses, and now I can't help feeling incredibly self-conscious every time I put them on. And I nearly didn't wear them today because I thought, I don't want to put them on because I know what I'll get. Serial killer dinner lady feedback. But actually, unsurprisingly, you guys, even Maureen hasn't said, what the fuck are you wearing? Which is what she would normally say.
No. I think they're lovely. They're absolutely lovely.
They are a bit 70s. And so they do have that serial killer vibe. And if you are of my age, maybe slight dinner lady vibes. But you know what? I'm going to take that. I loved all my dinner ladies. So shove it. But the serial killer's a bit, it's hard to lean into that one. No. I'll go dinner lady. That's fine. I'm not going to feel shame about that.
Dinner lady.
Anyway, thank you for noticing, Alison. And in fact, even Maureen noticed, albeit through via Alison. But
no, Maureen. I was the one who mentioned it.
Maureen brought it up.
Oh, Maureen. Oh,
it was
Maureen.
100%.
No, you're right to side.
Oh, look, she's angry because,
you're right to side. That was unfair of me. It was absolutely you, Maureen. Thank you very much for noticing. I'm so used to haranguing Maureen. Even when she's right, she's wrong. She can't win, the poor woman. Anyway, we've all had a week. Well done, us. But let's go back to Maureen. I mean, I feel like we had a little bit of a Be More Maureen with the jail goal thing, but we won't go back.
I was like, we've already had one. Let's keep going. Yeah. How many can we get in a show is the new...
we'll see. This
let's
just
find
happened.
Out. Wait! I've got to the intro, All right, here we go. And now, let's go back to Maureen Younger to find out what her Be My Body moment is.
Me and Jen were in the jacuzzi. I had this new swimming costume on and the top was actually around my neck. So I was flashing Jen and completely unaware of it.
Completely topless. Tankini around her neck. That would have been the first indicator to me. I'd be like, what is this around my neck?
Nope, no, I didn't notice. Well, this happened on Thursday. There was a comic I know, and he was like complaining he hadn't got paid by this promoter, and he obviously was a bit short of money. And then a couple of days later, he's saying the same thing, and I was like, "Well, this promoter's a really nice guy. If you tell him, mention it to him, he'll pay you." And he still never did it. So I had a word with the promoter, and he was like, "Yeah, sure. If he's got a, he sent me an invoice, I'll pay him." And then an hour or two later, I'm in on the balcony. And he turns out this comic and I'm like, oh, yeah, talk to that promoter. He's all right, guy. Anyway, he's going to pay you. And the guy was being a bit funny responding back to me. And then I realised that the promoter I was talking about was sitting between me and him.
Oh, my God, Maureen. Dear God. So the promoter that you were talking about with this was sitting next to you.
No, he was not sitting next to me. I was like at one side of the balcony. He was sitting kind of off to the middle and the other comic was kind of at the other end of the balcony. Right. I mean, we were all on the same balcony,
You're on the same balcony. In fact, within your eyesight, within your line of vision. Yeah, so within your line of vision. Don't worry. I spoke to that bellend. He's going to sort your money out. Just get an invoice again.
I mean, I was being very nice about him, but I did find it very funny. The comic was not being that forthcoming. And then I realised that the guy in between was the promoter.
Right. So the guy nearest to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you had to look beyond in order to see the person that you wanted to talk to.
Yeah, but I kind of only saw the back of his head.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, well, if he had his back to you, then... Then, God.
No.
No, Alison, it's a no from you.
I think it's a classic Be More Maureen moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit like when you're slagging someone off and they are behind you.
Oh,
yeah, I did that
worst.
In the car, didn't I?
Were you in?
Yeah, you did.
I slagged another comic off and they were sitting behind me in the car.
Yeah.
They were in the car with you while you
were slagging them off. Yeah, they were in the car
with me. Yeah. Yeah. There's only four of you in the car, wasn't there?
No, I think there might have been five. But in my defence, it was a very long journey.
That is not a defence. That they were even longer in the car with you. You should have remembered they were there.
I can't think of everything, Alison.
I know. Your awareness only goes so far, and it is not it's beyond you.
You.
I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. If there was a solipsist out there... her name would be Maureen.
What's a solipsist?
Yeah. It's somebody who thinks everything is happening, it's like involves them, it's all about them. So it's like nothing's happening behind you, it's just what's happening to you. So of course nothing's happening behind you because it's happening to you.
Yeah, which is a good way to live. Who gives a shit about what's behind there, right?
Worry about that afterwards.
Fuck yeah.
Good! Maureen, great Be More Maureen moment from you. I salute you and applaud that. Why not?
And you did a good thing. You got the other comedian paid.
Yes, he got paid.
Yeah.
Exactly. So everyone's a winner, really. I mean, it was a bit awkward, but if it wasn't awkward for you, okay, I guess it was fine. It was only awkward for him.
Oh, yeah. It didn't bother me.
Yeah. So there we go. Everyone's a winner, baby. And that's no lie. Maureen, thank you very much for your Be More Maureen moment. It's an absolute classic and only right that we should end on that for your time in Adelaide. It's almost like a mic drop, isn't it? You've sorted out a guy's payment. You've managed to create an awkward situation and you feel nothing. That is Maureen Younger in a nutshell. Yeah. Now it's time to turn back to Alison, find out what the problem is and ask Alison.
Go to the gym. Get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it. No.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
All right. Thank you so much. Hey, I just want to say thank you to listeners. We just had a little batch of problems come in, which is wonderful, but I still really encourage you, please keep sending in problems. Like I say, it doesn't matter how little, I'll look into anything. Do you remember cat seduction? I loved learning about that problem. Keep sending me in problems. I'm not a therapist. I don't have no professional training. I just like to say this before we get into it. So I've combined a few problems because a lot of people are writing in again about the feeling as if they have no time. Time poverty, all right? The feeling of no time, not enough time. So I just thought I'd touch base on that, feeling as though you have a lack of time. First thing I want people to think about is often we go, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. You're in a situation, you're thinking about things. You're like, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time. Take a minute and I want you to think about if you did have time, what do you want to do with it? What is it you feel you're missing? Okay, you always feel like you're rushing. If you had time, what would you do with that time? I want you to start thinking about that because all we ever do is think about we don't have time. But time for what? Okay, keep that in mind as I go through a list of some things that I think can help you find time. I want you to take stock of the spare time that you do have. I want you to look at your week and go, okay, when did I really have spare time? What did you do with that spare time, everyone? I'm willing to bet you a lot of money that you scrolled on your phone, which, can I just say, is the biggest waste of time. Because, look, you're scrolling on your phone, but you're not doing anything. And also, you're just looking at all this other cool shit out there. So I'll tell you what, you feel even more time short, right? And you've accomplished nothing. You haven't done anything with that time, which is, again, why I want you to think about what you do want to do with your spare time. Find your time wasters, like I said, scrolling, and really look at it in the week and go, I'm going to reduce that. I want you to, your phones have a little thing that'll show you how much time you've been online. Really look at that. Maureen is exceptionally good at this. Maureen, you don't waste much time on your phone. You only do the things you want to do, and then you usually get off of it. I've always been very inspired by your use of phone time. I think you're very good at it. Yeah. Outsource as much as possible. I mean, gang, I get groceries delivered. You know why? Because I don't want to go to the fucking store and take an hour and go shopping, right? What are some things you can do to outsource? Is there somebody who goes on a weekly shop that could pick things up for you? Do they have a kid that maybe you could watch while you're watching your kid? Are there things that you can do to kind of like maximize your time by outsourcing a little bit? Really think about that. Give some of your time away. Okay, I know it sounds like you're like, what are you talking about, Allison? I already have a shortage of time. I don't have time to volunteer. I don't have time. The reward you get and the feeling that you get when you actually do something for someone else, that feeling will give you a better, it'll give you more reward on you, and I guarantee you will feel like you do have more time. I think, again, this is a matter of we're wasting our time. What are we doing with our time? If you help someone, if you do something for someone else, there's something in our brain that all of a sudden feels like we have more time, and there's a reward given to us. So focus a bit on that. I'm a big advocate of this. Plan your day the night before. I know I sound like a psycho, but if I don't list out my day the night before, I go into the day not knowing what to do. And I like to backtrack my time. I like to be like, if I have to be a gig at this time, when do I need to leave? Okay, what else do I need to do? If I go into my day knowing kind of what I want to do, I find I just waste less time. Otherwise, I'm wandering around going, oh my God, what do I have to do? Speaking of which, if you plan your day a little bit in advance, you can do a few things to save some time. You're going to the gym? Great. Why don't you pre-back your gym bag the night before? Have it by the door, ready to go. Simple little things like this can gain you back hours in your day. Schedule your high priorities first. I know a lot of people, look, we spend our time avoiding shit we don't want to do. If you tackle the thing you don't want to do head on, you are going to feel as though you have more time. So every day, that big thing that you don't want to get to, make that number one. Get that the fuck out of the way. And I promise you, you will feel like you have more time, and you will have more time, which, of course, try to avoid procrastination, which is why I think a little bit of planning. And when you plan, plan spare time. Make that one of the priorities, right? From 2 to 3, that is my time, which is why I say, what do you want to do with your time? If you put in, I just want to stare at a wall for an hour, good for you. Go stare at the wall for an hour. You've planned that. You put that in. I want you to schedule spare time as important as scheduling actual things you need to do. That is mandatory. You're not wasting time. You've put it into your plan. Consolidate as many things as you can. Look, women, we do this. We're multitaskers. I think there are a lot of men who are multitaskers. But can you multitask something? Alex is like, I am absolutely. Are you? You're not a multitasker? No. You can multitask. Get a few things done at once, right? Like, while you're cooking the dinner, while the noodles are boiling, can you throw your stuff in the gym bag then just to be prepped for the next day? A little bit of a game plan really does help you go a long way. Keep your list of things to do in a day to 3. 3 big ones, okay? There's going to be other things that you're going to do in that day. But make 3 big things, the 3 things you want to accomplish. And I want you to put spare time as one of them, just as an experiment, all right? Spare time is one of the big 3 things that you need to do. Follow the 2-minute rule. If something will take you less than 2 minutes to do and you have the time, do it. If you need to send an email and that's going to take... do it. Just send that email. Little things, get them done. Get them done. Get them done. Don't put them off in a list of going, I'm going to send all these 27 emails. No. Can you send an email right now? Get that done and out of the way. Be realistic. If you've got a big project, break it down into little chunks. All right? Day by day. Break it down. Don't look at the whole thing as this big project. Break it down. That way you'll feel as though you do have more time. You're not like, oh my God, I need to finish this research paper. Okay, great. What do you need to do today to get on track with that? And hey, my last piece of advice, leave some things unfinished. It's okay. You don't have to get everything done in the day. Leave some things unfinished. I know it's just a list of ideas, but like, I really do feel some of these things will really help you to feel as though you have more time. And with that time, you can join us. And we would love to spend that time with you. Consider us some of your spare time. A little loving word from some friends. So yeah, that is my, that's the best advice I can give in regards to feeling like you have some more time, gang.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I think make a list. Plan your day. Have a planner. And if there's stuff that you want to do that you're like, I just don't have time to learn how to play the accordion, or I don't, there's no time of the day for Duolingo to learn Japanese, or whatever it is that you want to do. There always is, actually, because you're right. We do spend a lot of time on our phones and there's absolutely nothing there for you. We all know that. There's nothing. You're not going to learn anything. You're not going to get anything from it. It's either going to make you sad or angry. Get off your phone.
You're going to feel like shit. Yeah.
You're just going to feel like shit. You're going to get, you might get a mild dopamine hit and then you'll feel terrible. So, and also most of these things that you want to do or you think you don't have time for, you only need 15 minutes in a day to do them.
Yeah.
And if you give yourself 15 minutes in the day, you might actually do them. I say that as somebody who's teaching themselves how to play the guitar. I don't do it. I do a bit every day, but I don't do very long because I just, you know, and because I say to myself, I'm only going to do 5 minutes, then when I do 15 or 20 minutes, then I'm like, oh, wow, I've done a bit more than I thought I was going to do. And you do it every day and you don't even, like, incrementally you get better at something. But also you have to find time in the day to do these things that you enjoy, don't you?
Yeah, because it is about joy. It's about joy.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just work.
Yeah.
It's just work and sleep.
And all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, everyone. Please don't forget that. What happens when you don't?
That.
Yeah.
You can't see that. It's a visual image. Oh, yeah. I meant with an axe, didn't I?
Although I did like you were stabbing with an axe.
I know. I mixed Psycho and The Shining. There we go. I got that wrong. I got it wrong.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Maureen has
just left. I don't know why. We don't know where she's gone. I can hear Maureen,
Maureen is laughing with other people.
We're in the middle of a podcast. Can this be my goat? Where's Maureen?
So have you two decided what's got your go?
Well, I think we've done it, Maureen.
We've finished. It's all.
We've done it. And let's just say you were involved. Anyway. And now let us go and talk to each other about our televisual rituals.
Well, I've watched the movie Priscilla. Has anybody seen that?
Priscilla.
It's the
just about, Priscilla?
It's about Priscilla Presley.
Oh,
no, but I saw the advert for that. It looked really good.
Yeah, it's got the guy from Saltburn who plays the posh guy. He's playing Elvis Presley. He does a good job.
Yeah.
It's very, it's not a comfortable watch. It is really, I don't know how to put it, because obviously, because I don't know if in real life she's that small, but the woman who plays is very short. So when she meets up with Elvis, she does look like a schoolgirl. And it is very uncomfortable watching She was on board with it, Priscilla Presley. You do wonder, because her Priscilla's parents let her stay with Elvis when she was very young still. He promised, you know, he said he's, you know, he would do nothing untoward, which he didn't do, which he, you know, he kind of waited. But you do, and it's a very controlling relationship. You know, he chose her clothes, he chose how she did her hair. And you do kind of, it is quite impressive that she managed to leave that relationship, because it would have been difficult. And obviously she went on and forged herself a career, but it is quite an uncomfortable watch.
Ooh. Yeah, that would have been a very abusive relationship.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's men from this, you know, 60s had a very different attitude towards, you know, they weren't, let's put it this way, they weren't in the avant-garde of the feminist movement. So, you know, he would go around and sleep with loads of people and, you know, he wouldn't touch her and stuff. It's very uncomfortable watch, let's put it. Yeah, that's how I'd put it.
But I think that's what makes it a great watch though, right? Because it is... Really, look at, we talk so much about narcissism nowadays, which I think falls into some of these relationships back in the day that was normal, right? Like the man controlled everything and da da da. So I think that's a great watch. That sounds fucking great.
I mean, in terms of the power dynamic, that's very much fucked, isn't it? And that sort of coercive relationship, it would not have been recognized as such then, because I think even within any relationship, for example, rape didn't exist between a marriage. It was coercive control. It would be like, what are you talking about? That's not a thing. You know, sort of emotional abuse. No. What? Even domestic violence. It'd be like, well, what did she do to wind him up? You know, she must have said something. Otherwise, why would he hit her? So, you know, there wasn't really any space for her as a child, let alone as a young woman, or a young woman, let alone as a child, I should say, the other way around, to exert any of your own control or your own agency. So that must have been really difficult to leave that relationship. So she's that's a really powerful story, and particularly also for women who might be in relationships like that, to be able to see that there is a way forward.
Yeah, and also, you know, obviously she's married to probably the most famous man
in the world
at that time.
I mean, ever, in a way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got a nice lifestyle. She's got a child that she's got to think about. Trying to leave these relationships is obviously the most difficult. It's when you're leaving that's the most difficult bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
The most dangerous bit. So, it does take, you do have a lot of admiration for her, I think.
I know that story. I don't think I know her journey or the way that she left Elvis. I know that she did, but I don't know how she got to that point and what it took for her to go. I don't think that story has ever been told, has it?
No.
So where did you stream that, Maureen?
I saw it on the plane, but it's on one of the stream. I've seen it. It's on one of the streaming channels. Definitely, I've seen it advertised. But so it is around. But yeah, I saw it on the plane. And I, you know, and they make sure that Elvis doesn't, because it's, you know, Elvis is such a charismatic character and everything, but they keep him firmly in the background. It's definitely Priscilla's story.
That's great.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. She's had a tough life. Really.
And
tough.
Now she's in legal battles with her granddaughter, isn't she?
What? What's her name?
The one who played Daisy in Daisy Jones and the Six.
Why?
Because, you know, since the mother died, there's they're arguing over, apparently, Graceland.
Oh, God.
I don't know the ins and outs of it, but they're going to court with each other.
That sounds hellish. And they're both grieving, aren't they? One of them's lost their daughter, one of them's lost their mum. It's a terrible time. But, yeah, thank you for that, Maureen. We'll definitely check that out. That sounds fascinating. I watched a film as well. I don't really know what to say about this film. It's called Foe, and it stars
as in the soup.
What?
Foe. P H O. That's what I thought too.
No.
Okay.
Foe as an enemy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, like a foe. Okay. So Maureen and I both are like the soup. I love that soup.
Wow, I love that. That is. That was your first definition of faux.
Me too, Maureen.
it's not. It's not about soup, actually. Soup. That's a different movie. You might see that on the cover of any menu in a Vietnamese restaurant. But no. This is an Aussie-US co-production. It was actually, it's set in America, but it was filmed in Australia. And it stars Saoirse Ronan and Paul Mescal and also Aaron Pierre. And I guess the story is about a couple called Henrietta and Junior, who is played by Paul Mescal. And it's about their marriage. So the film starts... and this is set in the future, I think maybe 2065. And there's environmental catastrophe and farms. Anyone that's lived in farmland, that there's no cities are packed, but that people aren't really surviving in the cities. But everyone's had to move to the city away from agricultural areas because you can't grow anything anymore because of global warming. So this couple have this farm somewhere in the Midwest, and they've stayed in the farm and they're trying to make it work there. But there's been like no rain for such a long time and they're struggling, and they have second jobs. She is a waitress and he works in a factory, and they are having marital problems. And that's where we start. And even though it's set in the future where you would imagine, technology is advanced, which it has in some respects. In other respects, if you live out in these farmlands, there's not the infrastructure to support that technology. So it's still, everything still looks kind of a bit like it did back in the old days. So then a man appears mysteriously out of nowhere, and he basically says to Junior, "I've got a proposal for you. We are setting up this station in Mars. And we're trying to, because the earth is now not supporting enough people down here. We need to get people out of here. So we would like you, you've been handpicked to go up into space, into this station. We're going to train you. We're going to financially reward you. You'll have to leave your wife, but you can go up there and a couple of years and you'll be doing the human race a great service, because we need people to go out there and we're just sort of randomly picking people from all different backgrounds in order to see if this is if we can support life out there." Bottom line, he's like, "I don't want to go. I don't want to leave my wife." And she's like, "Oh," in a mood, like going, "Oh, well, I guess you're going to go. You're going to leave me." Anyway, long story short, I don't want to give anything away, but it's about the way this man's arrival to encourage Junior to go up to Mars and how it impacts on their relationship. And we see there is an intimacy there in their relationship where there is so much love, but there is something which is acting as a schism here that is stopping that relationship from really fully blending and coming together, but we don't know what it is. And she is resentful of him going away, but he kind of doesn't seem like he even wants to go. He's still like, "But I love you and our relationship is..." And this guy comes along and he's trying to, it's almost like trying to find out what's wrong with the relationship. And he says, "Look, what we're going to do is we're going to create an AI bot, an AI thing that's going to look human, it's going to look like you, so your wife doesn't feel sad without you. But we need to find all these things about you in order to create this AI creature that will help your wife. It'll be just like you, but it won't be you." And he's like, "I don't want that." Anyway, that's the premise of the film. It's very slow. And partly half the way through, Chloe and I were like, "What is the fucking point of this film?" But I have to say, I loved the ending. And so once I'd got to the ending, I then thought, "Oh, maybe I did enjoy the film." But it is slow. And it got terrible reviews. I don't think it's as bad as the reviews said it is, to be fair. And I think the acting is really good. And I think Saoirse Ronan's great and Paul Mescal is great. Sorry I've talked so long about it, but it made me think about this film for quite a long time afterwards. I'd kind of be interested to see what you think of it, Maureen. I don't know if you would be able to get through to the end. But if you did get to the end, I'd just like to know what you thought of it, because I think the ending is really interesting. It's based on a book, and I don't think it follows the book exactly, and I'm quite interested to read the book now. But once you get to the end, it says so much about relationships, human relationships, that I found that fascinating. So I'm not going to say anything more about it. I'm sorry I've wanged on about it for so long, but it's only because when I got to the end, I was like, wow, this poses so many new questions at the end of the film, which is why I think, even though for a lot of the time watching it, I was like, uft, where are we going? I did enjoy it at the end. So that's Foe, and you can get it. It's on Netflix. I think it's only just come out in the last couple of weeks. So if you fancy it, give it a try. Let me know what you think, WTB listeners. Alison, let's talk about the horror.
Yeah. All right. So we are thinking about time, lack of time. So I started thinking about time, horror movies, which always puts us into. So then it was like time travel. Okay. So I was like, I don't want to think about time travel. So what I did was I chose a movie. I forgot about this one and I really enjoyed it. This movie is called Happy Death Day. Happy Death Day is basically Happy Death Day. It's kind of like Groundhog Day meets a slasher film. So basically what happens is, yeah. It's really good though. Yeah. And
what
it's funny.
What the hell, man?
I know. I keep focusing on things with a mask.
That is creepy as hell.
It is creepy. So basically, it's a lovely teen horror film. There are some good giggles in it. A college student must relive the day of her murder over and over again in a loop that will end only when she discovers her killer's identity. With its unexceptional details and terrifying end, she discovers her killer's identity and the game ends. It is really good. It's like the way she dies every single time and then she wakes up and has to start the day again. I just love movies like this. It is so good. It is very funny. Set in like college kind of, you know, it's your stereotypical college teen. I love it. She wakes up every time. She had a one-nighter with a guy she met at a party. And so like just watching her wake up every single time it's brilliant. I just really enjoy this. And I just thought it falls into the idea of time and like, what would you do with your time if you actually had your time back, right? Having to relive something again and again until you learn a lesson. I was like, oh God, what a nightmare. So it just makes us appreciate the time that we do have and that we don't have to keep repeating the mistakes again and again and again. So I highly recommend Happy Death Day. Do not watch Happy Death Day to You, which is the second one.
Don't waste your time.
No.
Okay, so just the first one.
Yeah.
It's a really, really quite simple but clever premise, isn't it?
It is.
That whole idea of the only way you can stop yourself from dying or from whoever kills you is to find out who the person that killed. I mean, it's grim, but what a great... what a great idea for a horror film. That's Happy Death Day. Gets pretty good reviews for a horror, and you can get it on YouTube or Amazon Prime. I think you have to rent it. But yeah, check it out. That looks like a good one, Alison. That looks like
honestly,
a great recommendation.
It's worth it. If you just want, you know, it sounds heavier than it is. Like, there's so many good little chuckles in it. I really think you'll enjoy it. It's a light horror. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sort of dark comedy. Is that how you would describe it? A sort of thriller, dark comedy.
There's definitely
horror.
Some moments where you would jump, like Maureen would scream her head off again. This is every time I watch a movie now.
Maureen's not watching it.
I always think about Maureen. I was like, oh no, she wouldn't even make it through the first 10 minutes. I was like, oh, Maureen would have screamed right there. I literally have you in mind sometimes when I watch horror movies. I'm like, no. Yeah. But
So is it a bit like Scream meets Groundhog Day meets.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Friday the
that's
13th
exactly
or something.
It. Yeah.
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 Great. Thanks very much, Alison, for your horror recommendation. It is cultural corner time. This is Maureen Younger's moment to shine with her corner that is cultured. Oh, God, I've got to get up some better fucking intros than this. Maureen Younger. She has a corner. It is full of things that we would like to put in our mouths. I don't know what I'm saying.
Wow, wait.
Thanks for that wonderful intro, Jen. I'm just going to mention Loz from Oz, who gave some recommendations for books, Australian books. It's called Gould's Book of Fish by Richard Flanagan. He recommended. You might have read this one, Jen. Oscar and Lucinda,
Peter Carey.
Lucinda by Peter Carey. Have you read that?
Yes.
And?
I have read it.
Would you recommend it?
Yes. I read it. I read it when I was in Australia. So that's what, 25 years ago, 26 years ago. I did enjoy it when I was reading it. Sometimes I think Peter Carey's a brilliant writer, but I think I also enjoyed it because I was in Australia and I felt I wanted to read all the Australian stuff. But yeah, I remember really enjoying it.
And I'm doing this because book club is on the 26th of March at 19:30 UK time. And Kerry, because I'll be travelling back from Australia, so Kerry's going to be holding the fort. And the book this month is Picnic at Hanging Rock by Joan Lindsay.
I've seen the movie. I haven't read the book.
It took me a while to get into it, but I am really enjoying it. It's a mystery. It is definitely a mystery. And next month's book will be, and I actually read that first before I read Picnic at Hanging Rock, Barbara Pym, who I've never read before, Excellent Women. Yeah, which I really enjoyed. So I'll talk about more that later. But yeah, I'm enjoying Picnic at Hanging Rock, because you don't know whether it's true or not. That was the mystery, wasn't it? People were like, well, is this a true story? Did this really happen? Or did it not really happen? And for people who don't know, these young girls go from this private kind of boarding school for young girls, young ladies, and four people disappear on the picnic.
Mysteriously. Inexplicably.
Inexplicably, they just miss. Three girls and a teacher. Ooh.
It's a very good film.
Yeah, by Peter Weir.
I watched it quite a long time ago, so maybe it isn't. But when I watched it, I really enjoyed it. But so, yeah. That's great. Any other business, Maureen?
No, and you can find out about Book Club at the WT Book Club page if you want to join.
Yes, and I think the link might be on the WTB page as well.
Yeah,
is it?
It should be.
Did I just make that?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much, Maureen, for your cultural corner. That was a quick one, wasn't it? Quick in and out.
It's very efficient. Well, she's been very busy. She has been buying jewellery.
I've also got a pack. So, I mean, you know.
She's got to pack. So she's like, get to it. I would like to have a video of you packing. Anyway, that would be so fun.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. And I want to play it and fast forward and watch Maureen pack. Well, listen, Maureen, this is the last day where she is. She's sad to go. She's had a great time. My puppy has no balls. We've talked about a lot of things.
Jen looks like a serial killer.
Jen looks like a serial killer or a dinner lady. I'm going towards dinner lady because you do a good feed. Whenever I come to your house, you make excellent food. I'm leaning more towards dinner lady. But what we want to know is all the positive talk. What the hell is getting your goat, Jen?
I'm losing everything. I cannot find anything. I don't know where anything is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I can't take it anymore. So that's me getting my goat. There we are. Well, the cat. Now
I knew it in my head. I was going to say Jamie.
I have such a complicated relationship with the Kit Kat, in that I'm very fond of her, and I let her get away with absolute murder to a degree. I came down this morning and I couldn't help noticing the house looks fucking disgusting, and I blame the cat. There's fur. I'm vacuuming it every day, but it's fur because we've got those bloody velvet sofas. So they just hang on to everything, the bastards. Mm-hmm. It's partly the velvet sofa's fault, really, more than the cat. More than anything, I feel like that litter that is sold should be banned. No one should be buying that litter. It is everywhere. Yesterday, I was finding it in places I didn't know it had even got to. I was vacuuming. I spent an hour vacuuming bits of that cat litter up all over the place. It finds itself everywhere. It is, one, impractical because it doesn't stay in the litter tray. Two, does not absorb the smell. It absorbs the urine. Congratulations, well done. But the smell, no. Once you get rid of it, you can't compost it or anything. You have to, like, stick it in the bin. Have to empty the bin. I can't have it in the bin, so I've got to take it immediately outside because I can't have pissy litter in my bin, blech, let alone the poos. Also, she is very disobedient. She is a very disobedient cat. She's got no boundaries. I've had to start spraying her. It's got to that point. I've waited long enough, but she's not getting the message. I go, down, Jamie, down. Get down, Jamie. No, she looks at me like, I think there's a little blob of butter here. I'm just going to have a little go at that. Like, get off the table. Although this morning I went, ah, and she jumped straight down. So she's getting the message.
Oh.
She's getting the message. I just did a ah, and she jumped. She jumped
straight I'm telling down. You, it's because you brought the water bottle out. You brought the water bottle out.
Yes, yeah, so I think she's like, I don't want any water on my lovely fur again. But yes, that's kind of getting my goat. I mean, partly getting my goat, partly not getting my goat. She's lovely. She's very sweet. She sleeps with us every single fucking night. That's the other thing. I don't sleep well because I'm so worried about waking the cat up. What the fuck is wrong with me? She's got all day to sleep. Get the fuck out of my way.
Sleep all day.
And then I moved her twice in the night. I went, no, I'm gonna tell her. She can't just. Because I was exhausted. I got in at one. I've had three very late nights because of gigs. I moved her. And she was like, oh, but I was so cozy. And I'm like, tough tits, kiddo. I moved into the space that I wanted to move into. And then she moved into the other side. So then I was blocked in on the other side. So now I still had as little space as I had before. I was like, oh, man. So that's what's getting my goat. But then on the flip side, she's a cutie pie. What am I going to say? She's so cute. She's constantly wanting to play with everyone. She's like, what are we playing? I'm like, nothing. We're not playing anything. I'm tired.
I saw the video of you trying to sweep the floor. And oh, yeah.
Because she's
broom.
Like, oh, this is a game. Oh. Is this a game?
Yeah.
What are we playing? What's the game, guys? She drags the stick with the whatever little tassels it's got at the end. She drags it around and drops it at your feet and goes, yeah, what are we playing? Come on. This is fun. I do give her some time. And then she likes to play. And then she's like, now do something else that's more creative than that. I'm like, well, I haven't got time to think about it. But my hands, you can't see, are covered in scratches. Absolutely been mutilated with scratches from the cat. Who has decided that my hand is ultimately the best thing to play with. So there we go. She's got my goat, but equally, I think I love her little dick that she is. She hasn't got a dick, actually. She hasn't even got a uterus. She hasn't got anything, but she's lovely, but annoying. And as animals, what are you going to do? They can't help it, can they?
Nope.
And she's still a kitten as well. But honestly, Maureen, she wants to go out. She snuck out yesterday. I wasn't going to tell you, but I can tell you. I was putting the kids' bicycles away and I forgot to close the door. So she pegged it out. She was out of there in the garden. And I saw her and I went, and I had to go to my gig. And I went, oh my God, if she jumps over the fence, I'm fucked because I've got to leave for this gig. And I hurled myself at her. And pinned her down, poor little thing. Because I wanted her to go out and have some fun. But equally, I was like, I can't let you. She was so cross. She was like, but I could see her face going, I'm nearly there. I just need to get over the fence and you won't be able to get me. Oh. I just grabbed her just before she jumped. Oh, so stressed. Oh, she's desperate to go out. So.
Yeah, I know.
But she's just at that little bit older. So she's more curious and she's more excitable. But anyway, that's Jamie. She's getting my goat. What are you going to do? She's leaving me in about a week and a half. Bye.
That's what you think.
That's what I think. Maureen, I will be dropping her off at Victoria Station and whoever's there to pick her up will pick her up. If it's not you, it'll be someone else. Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly weekly treats.
Will that do?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.